Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. I'm your host, Eric Langhorst. I am an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to podcast episode number 139, being recorded on the evening of April 20th, 2008. Well, this year I've had the honor of traveling around the state of Missouri and presenting as the State Teacher of the Year to a variety of banquets and conferences, conventions, things like that. And being a podcaster, I'll typically record these. I have a small little iRiver MP3 player. It's about the size of a pack of gum. And typically when I give a presentation, I'll just leave it on the table or someplace on the podium so I can record the presentation. Now, typically this is mainly just for my own sake, so I can go back and listen, see if there's things that I could possibly do better, which obviously there always are a variety of things I can do better. But sometimes the presentation that I give would fall under the realm of something that I would publish to the Speaking of History podcast. And so today, I'd like to share one of those presentations with you. The presentation I'm going to share with you today, I gave on Saturday, April 5th, 2008, in Columbia, Missouri, to the State Convention of the Daughters of the American Revolution. This is a great organization. I was at the banquet last year as the Daughters of the American Revolution State Teacher of the Year, and this year I was asked to speak as the Missouri State Teacher of the Year, and just kind of a general presentation about history education. And I was introduced by one of the members of the state organization, Lois Allen, and just kind of a little historic footnote. I talked to Lois before the presentation, and she informed me that she is the niece of the legendary KU basketball coach, Fog Allen. And I kind of make a little bit of a reference to this towards the end of the speech because this is the evening when KU played North Carolina in the Final Four and advanced to the national championship game, which, of course, KU won 2 days later. So this is my presentation to the Missouri State Daughters of the American Revolution Conference on Saturday, April 5th, 2008, in Columbia, Missouri.
You probably do recognize the man that I'm going to introduce. He was the history teacher of last year. You remember him? Yeah. There are 66,000 teachers in Missouri, and today we honor the one that was chosen best of all. Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade social studies teacher at Middle Valley School in Liberty, Missouri, was the one chosen. Mr. Langhorst was selected from 6 finalists after an interview by the state selection panel of 9 representatives from state educator groups. The application papers required were lengthy and detailed. Applicants are required to provide information about their personal history and professional development. Awards and recognitions are required relating to national educational issues and trends. Eric spoke at a celebration held by his students and the staff of the school. "It is kind of overwhelming," he said. "I do the same thing that every other teacher in my school does. But for whatever reason, some of the little niches that I use have been successful. I am sure Eric is too modest." Some of the niches used by this successful teacher include methods of integrating technology into the curriculum. His students correspond online with other students, experts, and authors in other states about books they are reading. They download audio reviews to study at home. Many of the technologies individualize the class for each student. Eric's district superintendent, Phil Wright, reports, "It is not about groups for Eric. It is about individuals for him. Eric makes sure his students learn and that every single child has the opportunity for success in his class. At the school celebration in his honors, the students congratulated their teacher with balloons and banners. One huge balloon bore the motto, "You did it." We want to hear from Eric what he did and just how he did it. Please welcome Eric Langhorst, current Missouri Teacher of the Year.
First of all, I want to recognize the Liberty Alexander Donovan chapter. If you guys could stand, they've been extremely supportive of my activities in the classroom. And I want to thank them for their support. And, you know, we just listened to Terry. I mean, I'm supposedly the teacher of the year at the state of Missouri. There's teachers all across the state of Missouri that are doing just absolutely amazing things. And I'm very honored to be sitting next to one of my peers today who's doing as amazing stuff in the classroom as I am, so I'm very humbled to be here with him today. I'm currently in the middle of an amazing journey this year as the Missouri Teacher of the Year, representing teachers from across the state, and I can proudly say that I'm an 8th grade American history teacher, and I honestly feel that I get to teach the best subject in the best content area, and I know that every teacher feels that way about their subject, but I feel definitely a special pride in being able to tell the story of our American history. When I travel, and I'm sitting next to somebody on a plane, or I'm in a hotel or a restaurant, and somebody asks what I do for a living, and I tell them I'm an American history teacher, and then I follow that up by saying I'm an 8th grade American history teacher, I usually get a very sympathetic, "Oh, 8th grade history teacher." But then after that, in some cases, the person that I'm talking to responds and they say, "You know, I didn't really like history in school," and that always makes me a little bit sad. And then what I usually find after that, when I kind of follow up the conversation, is they say that, "But I really like history now as an adult." And I generally ask them, "Well, why is that?" And they say, "Well, I watched a documentary on the History Channel or PBS, or I was somewhere on a family vacation that had an historic event or a historic item." And it always amazes me that the same history that basically they say bored them in school is the same history that got them excited. It was just presented in a different format. It was presented to them in a more personal form, or in the form of a story, or something they could relate to. And so I always find that very interesting when people talk about their experiences in a history classroom. Now, of course, if you have Terry as a history teacher, you're doing all kinds of incredible things. And I just think we need to get more people that kind of include that type of activity in their classroom. My students want to be engaged in activity. They want to know how history relates to them. And they also want to feel the emotion of the history. And I feel that that's what really makes the connection with the students. Now, I teach 8th grade American history, and so obviously we studied the American Revolution, and I wanted to share with you one of the ways that we try and engage students. So imagine that you're walking into my class, and it's typically the fall of the year, and we just started talking about the American Revolution. And I pretend like I pick up this note next to the doorway when they walk in. And I'm an 8th grade teacher, so I'm constantly picking up notes and all that kind of stuff. So this is a special note that I've planted. And I make little hearts on it and all that kind of stuff. And I usually take roll that day, and then I say, "Listen, I'm tired of picking up your guys' trash. You know, I'm not your mom. I'm not going to pick up after you guys." And then I warn them that typically what I do is I read this note, and I embarrass the person that wrote it, and then I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the year. And then I tell them what I'm going to put this one away. And then when I put it, "No, no, Mr. Langhorst, you got to read it, Mr. L, you got to read it." So then I let them kind of egg me on a little bit, and then I say, okay, I'll check it out, and then I'll read it. So I'm going to read you the note that I read to my students. Okay, and at this time, everybody's on pins and needles, and everybody quit talking. All right, so then I usually look at it, and I go, "Oh, this doesn't look good." And I start to put it away, and then I beg me again. All right, so it says, "I'm not sure how to start this letter, but I think we need to talk." Ooh, everybody who's an awesome. "I've been thinking about us a lot lately. Things used to be so great. It was like we were MFEO. And then I always act like I don't know what that means. Anybody? MFEO? Made for each other? Okay. That creates the illusion that there's no way I created this clutter, because they don't think I understand any of that stuff. I've asked them, and they say, that's the clincher. There's no way you could have wrote that. You're like 35, 40 years old. How do you know what MFDO means? So then it goes on. I mean, everyone said it was perfect. I really thought we'd be together forever, but then things changed. I feel like you started to take me for granted. You started to just do whatever you want, and you never asked me about how I feel. I don't think you value me in this relationship. And at this point, typically in a class, somebody goes, I know that couple, they just broke up. They broke up between second and third period today. No. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I don't want to hurt you, but I think it's time we broke up. I mean, this is just not going to work. I need time to be on my own and to find out who I am without you. I'm sorry things didn't work out, but I do think you are to blame for breaking us up, and I'm telling all of my friends that. Sorry, but things between us are over. And then I start to fold it up. And then you can imagine, oh, you got to tell us who wrote it. And I don't know. So then I finally give in, and I explain to him that on the bottom it's signed, The American Colonies. And then there's this, like, pause, and then they start thinking about it, and they're like, Mr. Langhorst, you just punked us. What was that? And I say, well, think about it. I just read a modernized version of the American Declaration of Independence to you. And then I say, open up to page 445. And in every textbook in American history ever, there's a copy of the Declaration of Independence, which nobody ever reads. And then they look at it with different eyes, and they say, well, this says, like, he did this, and he did this. Who are they talking about? And I'm like, that's the King of England. The Declaration of Independence is the world's most famous breakup letter. It's so famous that that breakup letter is guarded by guards today, and millions of people come to see it under glass. And so then they understand the purpose of the Declaration of Independence. So they've created that personal connection with something that they deal with every day in their lives, and now they understand why the Declaration of Independence is so important. So that's one example of how we try and engage students in our classroom. But I am here today to also say that, sadly, history in some of our schools is also an endangered species. Now, I say this because we want to teach what we teach in our classrooms today is largely governed by legislation from the national government known as No Child Left Behind. Now, the merits and deficiencies of No Child Left Behind could be debated for hours, and we don't have that much time today. But it is important to understand as citizens that our students today are tested in high-stakes tests in three subject areas, math, science, and language arts. Three subject areas that are very important, but history and social studies are not included in those tests. This is a concern for those of us that believe that understanding our nation's history and how our democracy works is a critical part of educating our next generation. Because of the high stakes placed on these tests, content has generally been moved to value what we test. Therefore, recent studies have shown that in some elementary classrooms and some high school classrooms, social studies is being eliminated or being reduced as far as time. This is particularly of concern in the elementary grade levels. Now, I'm not sure how Congress decided to pass legislation that ignores the importance of teaching our nation's history, but I'm pretty sure that our founding fathers might have had a different opinion. It is Thomas Jefferson who said, "Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They're the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty." Now, the news is not all bad. I'm not here to talk about doom and gloom, and we've seen amazing examples today of our next generation that is learning about history and is learning a lot of amazing things about history. Americans are finding many ways to connect with our history. I don't know how many of you have seen the HBO special on John Adams. I don't have HBO at home, so at the hotel last night, staying here, we had HBO, so I watched it last night. So there's a lot of people talking about documentaries such as that. Books on American history by authors like David McCullough are consistently on the best-selling list. And I'm very encouraged to see a renewed interest in the mechanics of our democracy in reaction to the 2008 presidential campaign. So we need to help citizens of all ages remember and respect the foundation upon which our great nation was born. Last summer I spent a week in Philadelphia doing a teacher workshop at the National Constitution Center. And on one of our afternoons off, we took a walk over to Washington Square Park, which features a monument to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers of the Revolutionary War. And I took a picture of that monument, and I have it in my classroom. On the top of that monument is engraved something that I think about a lot. and it says, "Freedom is a light for which many men have died in darkness. Your work as the Daughters of the American Revolution helped keep that light burning for your ancestors that gave us so much that we can be proud of today and that we can have the country that we have today. On behalf of history teachers and all teachers across Missouri and America, I thank you for your work. I appreciate and admire all your work with honoring teachers and students. Your scholarship opportunities and the variety of programs in which you help schools promote American history. It's been an honor to be with you today. I respect this organization very much from knowing you over the last couple years, and I wish you the best of luck on the remainder of your convention. And Lois is a huge KU fan, and so I'm trying to keep this a little bit short so she can get on to cheer her Jayhawks on tonight. So thank you very much.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.